I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
One of our favorite times of the week, Mr. Nick Kostos on the line. He is the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better You Bet podcast for more analysis. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. Nick, you're on with Starkey and with Donnie Football. You're part of a Donnie Football Friday.
We're
all looking forward to Monday. The Fighting Daniel Joneses are coming to town. What's a great bet here? How does this game shape up?
Well, great to be on with you guys. I am a Giants fan, so maybe like a slight bias coming from me here, but I am not a homer. So when I say this, I want that to have the proper context. I think the Giants are going to cover the spread on Monday night. The Steelers are a 6-point favorite. This was 6.5 yesterday, so I agree with the move down here with Pittsburgh being a 6-point favorite. I think the right number in the game is probably 5.5, and I'm not trying to get dense with like math here and numbers, just that like 5 doesn't matter, 6 is a number that matters, 7 is a number that matters. So I want people to think about it this way. The Steelers went from last week from being a 2.5-point home underdog at home to the Jets to now being like close to a touchdown favorite at home against the Giants. Now, the Jets are better than the Giants. I don't know, but are they that much better? They have the same record. I think this is way too big of a flip in terms of point spread for the Steelers, which does not mean that I think the Steelers are going to lose. I do think the Steelers are going to win the game. I just don't know if it's going to come in blowout fashion. I think this is a probable, like, Steelers by 3. Sounds really good to me. So if you make me bet the game, guys, I will take the Giants. But I do think that the Steelers will end up winning the game because the Giants are losers and the Steelers are winners. Just like the Steelers are winners and the Jets are losers. And this is generally how things play out.
Nick, is there any way to parlay together a Dexter Lawrence sack and a TJ Watt sack? Because I think those are basically sure things.
Yeah, I don't know if you can parlay sack stuff, but Donnie, if you want, like, we could talk about Defensive Player of the Year for a second, because you can bet on this stuff, and I think it's really interesting. So we covered this on our show on Wednesday. We do NFL awards on You Better You Bet on Wednesday. So TJ Watt is the favorite, plus 130. Dexter Lawrence is 6-1. So, look, I am a Giants fan, but I don't think this is a Giants fan take. Dexter Lawrence is the best defensive player in the league this season. Like, I think we can be objective and say that even the biggest Steelers fan would have to admit that, like, Lawrence has been better than Watt this season. Mm-hmm. TJ Watt's going to the Hall of Fame. This is not, like, anti-TJ Watt. Dexter Lawrence has been better, and he's pass rushing from the interior as opposed to from the edge. Now, the Giants are likely to have a losing record this season. Like, that is very likely to be the case. They're probably going to lose to the Steelers. They're going to be 2-6. We haven't seen a player win Defensive Player of the Year on a really bad team since 1992, when Cortez Kennedy, another interior, who's in the Hall of Fame, interior pass rusher for the Seahawks, won Defensive Player of the Year on a 2-14 Seattle team. So it's not that Dexter Lawrence can't win. It's that in order for him to beat TJ Watt and win this award, he has to have like 18, like 20, 21 sacks in order for that to happen. And then he can get past TJ Watt. But Watt is a deserved favorite on top of the board. And if the Steelers make the playoffs and Watt keeps up at this pace and Lawrence has, let's say, like 14 sacks, TJ Watt is going to win Defensive Player of the Year. And he's plus 130 right now at BetMGM.
All right, Nick, as a Giants fan, aside from the betting angle here, a general state of the franchise, I saw where the owner, John Mara, gave the dreaded vote of...
Do you really want this, sir?
Yes, the dreaded vote of confidence to the coach and the GM. Is that for real? Are they both guaranteed to be back?
I think so. I do believe in this time. And it's ridiculous, the reason why he's doing it. This is like the sunk cost fallacy, right? Like, he was right to fire Pat Shurmur after 2 years, who was a terrible head coach. Steelers fans saw it when he was with the Browns. He's a brutal head coach. He was awful. And he was right to fire Joe Judge, who, in addition to being a bad head coach, also was an embarrassment to the franchise and the fan base on a weekly basis. So he made the right call. It's honesty. He made the right call firing Shurmur after. He never should have hired these guys. Like, that's another conversation. But Should have fired Shurmur, should have fired Judge. And now we're at a point, like year three, and like Giant, look, this is a Steelers show, like a Pittsburgh show. Giants fans are the stupidest fan base like on the planet. I'm a Giants fan saying this. We are collectively really dumb. Because I'll say, like, Dable and Shane should lose their jobs, and they'll be like, oh, well, you know, the team was really bad. They need another 2 years. Like, what planet are people? This is year three. Generally, you get 3 years to make it work. They're horrible in year three. I actually think they're going to come back next season. So I believe, I think you should fire them. I think they're going to come back. And the other thing that I would say here, guys, I think this is Daniel Jones' last game as Giants starting quarterback. The Giants owe him $23 million next year in injury guarantees if he gets hurt. I don't even think he should be playing in this game. And if Dable and Shane both feel like they're coming back next year, then they're not going to play Jones. They're going to try and lose to get a better quarterback. They'll play Drew Locke or Tommy DeVito the rest of the season, and the Giants are going to be terrible, and people should bet their adjusted win total under 5.5 at plus money.
Nick, prop betting question here. Najee Harris over 100 yards in back-to-back games. The Giants allow the most yards per attempt in the NFL. I don't think the number is set for him yet on his over-under going into this game, but would you say that you are favorable to going over on whatever it may be?
So not that I wouldn't go over, and to be fair, like Najee's playing the best football of his career right now. Like he was amazing last week. Won me a fantasy matchup, by the way, with that late touchdown against the Jets to make it 37-15. So Najee's rushing yards, I have it open here, 62.5, like definite over. Like he's going to crack 70. Like I like that a lot. I'll actually, guys, and this cost me, so we've won more than we've lost with this. I would go back to the well with George Pickens this week. Like, if Russ is going to be throwing these moon balls up at Pickens' incredible contested catch, I think he's great. If he could just get out of his own way, like, I think he has the upside to be a top five receiver in the league. I mean that. 58.5 is his number. I think he hit 70 or 80 yards. So, Donnie, yes on Najee Harris. I'd probably prefer the George Pickens over if I had to choose.
Donnie, did you have a follow-up there, or are you satisfied with that?
Well, I was going to go to something else, but I thought you were going to chime in with something, because I did want to shift to one of the
really nice to each other. I'm a jerk to all the people that I work with on my show.
I did want to shift to one of the matchups in the AFC North. Cleveland, with obviously the Deshaun Watson injury, they're going to go with Jameis Winston. Why do I oddly feel, Nick, that this makes them a better team? And do you think they cover that 8.5 points at home against Baltimore?
Oh, definitely. I think they're going to win. Now I
win outright.
That. Yeah, so I think the game's going to go one of two ways. And I say this sometimes, and I get feedback. So I'm like, oh, it's a cop out answer. No, like I think about what I'm saying here, and I think it makes sense. And I'm giving you like options to bet this game. Jameis, I think, is either going to throw for like 3 touchdowns and 300 yards, or 300 yards and 4 interceptions, and 3 will be returned for touchdowns. So either like the Ravens win by 17 or more, or the Browns just win the game outright. And I'll lean into variance here, and I'll bet the Browns. And this is kind of similar, guys, to the Steelers thing, right? Where I think Pittsburgh's going to win. I think Pittsburgh's too big of a favorite in the game. Like, I don't think the point spread is right. I also don't think the point spread's right here. Now, in week one, long time ago, obviously, the Browns were favored at home almost by 3 against the Dallas Cowboys, like heading into the year, before we knew how bad Deshaun Watson was. And now we're at this point in the season, off of the mania around Lamar Jackson, which is justified, by the way. If season ended today, he's the MVP. National television, he nukes the Bucs, he throws for 5 touchdowns. This mania right now around the Ravens, they've won 5 straight games. And with how bad Deshaun Watson's been, that's how you get to a huge number like this. But Deshaun's not playing. Like, he's not playing in the game, and he's been the worst quarterback by any objective measure or subjective measure in the league this year. It's an upgrade. Like, I could play quarterback. I don't know how big of an upgrade I would be, but at least the fans wouldn't hate me. And look, like, I know Steelers fans and Browns fans have, like, a great respect for each other. Like, that's a great fan base, and you don't think they're going to be, like, and they hate the Ravens, obviously. They hate the Ravens. I think that crowd's going to be nuts on Sunday. I think Jameis is going to get them whipped up. I think the Browns keep it close. I think the Browns are going to win the game, and I'm going to bet it accordingly.
Wow. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Nick Kostos, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, on the line. All right, Nick. The Bengals are very interesting to me. They lost by one to Kansas City, overtime to Baltimore. Now they've won a couple in a row. Joe Burrow's numbers are actually really good. Do they get back to 500 and sort of start anew when they host the Eagles this weekend?
I think that they do. The Eagles were awesome last week against my Giants. Also, like, Daniel Jones got sacked like every other play. Like, that's not happening this weekend against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. I'm not an Eagles believer this season at all. I think the coach is in over his head. I don't think they're, like, close to the way, like, all people think about them as. I think the Bengals are getting there right now. I bet this earlier in the week, and it's actually the same number, so sometimes I say that it's like, oh, look at me, like, I have a better point spread. I don't. Still the same number. I do think it'll close three. I love Cincinnati. It's one of my favorite bets of the week. Has to be under three if you want to bet it. Like, do not bet Cincinnati -3. If you like the Bengals, bet Bengals -2.5. And if you like Philadelphia out there, you don't have to agree with me. I would try and bet +3, not +2.5.
Are the Bengals a playoff team?
So let's look at the standings right now. I think this is a really interesting question, right? So let's assume, right, that the Bills, Ravens, Texans, and Chiefs are the four division winners.
Yeah.
Let's just assume that that's the case, right? I think right now, even if, like, the Steelers don't cover, they're 6-point favorite. They're very likely to win on Monday night, I think. So they're going to be 6-2. Like, we have to put the Steelers in as a wild card team. So that's 5, right? We have 2 more spots to play with here. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins stink. The Jets are 2-5. Let's eliminate them for right now. The Colts are 4-3, but their quarterback looks like, you know, he's never played professional football before sometimes. The Broncos are 4-3. Their schedule, they're going to win this weekend against Carolina. Then the schedule gets really tough. Chargers are 3-3. I do like the LA Chargers here, but I think, like, out of all the teams we just talked about, so again, like, Pittsburgh's the 5th. Miami, the Jets, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Denver, and the Chargers. I'll ask you guys, which team of those is the best?
Cincy for me.
Yeah, I would go with Cincy too. I mean, all because of the offense.
Yep. So I'm with you. And the other thing, and this is like a long-term thing on Cincinnati, they have to find a way to pay Higgins and Chase. Their offense and the team does not work unless they have both of them on the field together. And right now they do. So I think the Bengals will make the playoffs, and I like them to beat the Eagles on Monday night, on Sunday.
One more, Donnie?
Well, Nick, I was also just going to ask just in general about the AFC North, like that current betting market of winning the division. Where does it look for the Steelers' prospects there, given how well Baltimore has played?
So I just want to make sure I have, like, the exact right number for you because I'm going to different tabs here. Okay. The Ravens are a huge favorite to win the division, -350. Pittsburgh is +400. Now, I understand, like, the Steelers and Ravens have the same record. Like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Steelers fans are not going to like, I just tell it like it is. The Ravens are, like, way better than Pittsburgh. It's like, I'm sorry. Like, and if Steelers fans don't like that, I don't know what to tell you. Like, your quarterback is Russell Wilson. He was really good on Sunday night. Lamar Jackson has won 2 MVPs already. He won last year, and he was unanimous in 2019, his first year as the starter. I don't know how anyone could watch him unless you're just a huge hater and not think that he's been the best player in the league this season. And it's the best he's played in his career. I would not bet against him. So, look, Steelers fan, you want to take +400 with your team? I wouldn't do that. Also, you still have to play Baltimore twice this season. Good luck.
Joe?
Thank you, Nick. We appreciate the time.
Great to be all with you guys.
City Limits was in my ear because I asked him a question. That's behind the scene. That's how the sausage is made, Nick. We appreciate your time.
I appreciate you guys. Wishing you guys minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. And look, because the Steelers are going to beat my Giants on Monday night, I am hoping that Pittsburgh, the great sports fans of Pittsburgh, will stand behind my New York Yankees in the World Series beginning tonight against the LA Dodgers. Let's go, Yankees.
Nick, this is the first time I saw your head of hair. You have a nice head of hair. You're always wearing a hat.
Yeah, well, it's because, like, I'm always, like, I usually shower later in the day for my show, and I'm, like, a mess. But, yeah, I have a different schedule this week.
Must be tough for those $300 million teams to get to the World Series, Nick, huh?
Yeah, listen, you're not going to win this game with me, man, because I don't care. Good. Like, you guys wish you had an owner like mine that would spend money.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Thank you, Nick.
But listen, I'd give you Garrett Cole back for Paul Skeens in a heartbeat. Great to be on with you guys. Go Yankees.
Thanks, Nick.
Best, isn't he? That guy is absolutely incredulous.
I'm not taking that deal, however.
Me neither.
I mean, right now? No. I mean, yeah. Cole's what? He's like 32,
He was 33? Hurt this season.
Yeah.
All of that. Plus, Skeens just might be, the greatest pitcher of all time by the time he's done.
Cole was also never as good, even in his best season, which I think was 2015. He never looked anything close to what we saw from Skeens.
I disagree with that. In his best season, he struck out, 300 batters?
Well, with the Yankees. I'm saying with the Buccos.
Oh, in the Buccos, yeah. Yes. I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Donnie, and I'm sorry I misunderstood you.
That's okay.
That was the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Nick Kostos. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Coming up here, we're going to do Bechtold's breakdown. Then we're going to do a quiz show. This is getting very exciting, Donnie. It's a Donnie Football Friday. I agree with every syllable Nick Kostos said about the AFC. In fact, I think we talked about this Tuesday, where the division winners to me, and the Steelers, listen, they have a very legitimate shot. I think especially if they added a significant wide receiver. Here's the thing. They play really well against the Ravens. So if they just sort of hold serve here and put themselves in a position where it comes down to one game against the Ravens, they could win the division. Having said that, I think the Ravens are still the favorite. I think the Bills, Ravens, Texans, Chiefs are winning these divisions.
That first Ravens game is going to be awesome. I mean, that's a huge weekend. Do you understand what all is in that weekend?
That's Pitt-Clemson.
And on the Friday night, it's Pitt-WVU. Backyard brawl on the hardwood, baby.
I love that. And then my wild cards, I think, are the same as his. I think the Chargers, the Steelers, and the Bengals. I agree with everything he said. You?
Yeah, I mean, last week we had the conversation, and I remember I picked Steelers, Chargers, and Bengals. Whatever order, it doesn't really matter. But so I'm happy that someone like the Kostos is on my side there.
I think this is a big week for the Bengals. You want to get back to 500 and sort of start over instead of constantly chasing it. You know, they go to 3-5, and the Eagles played great last week, and that's a very talented roster and team. They lose again. All right, then they got Vegas at home. Then you climb back within a game of 500. But then you got to go to Baltimore, at the Chargers, Steelers, at Dallas. Like, when do you ever get back to even? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think this is a huge game for them.
I like them in this game. I don't know about winning big, but I like them in this game because Burrow and that offense has been so good.
Do you know how close they are to being 5-2? They lost to the Chiefs 26-25. They lost to the Ravens in overtime 41-38. They're this close to being 5-2, but they're not. They're still in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. But you have to just keep in mind, if that defense figures it out even at all, I mean, that offense is really clicking. And we know what happens if Burrow gets into the playoffs. He, behind Mahomes, is the most dangerous guy to me. He's beaten Allen a couple of times in his own building. Burrow immediately vaults. No matter how well Allen or Jackson play this season, if the Bengals are in the playoffs, we know the Chiefs will already be there. It goes Mahomes-Burrow for me easily.
Stroud is creeping into that Not easily. Josh Allen?
In the playoffs?
Josh Allen has had Mahomes beaten.
He has, but they still didn't get it done.
Because their idiot coach couldn't cover a kick and then stop Mahomes with 13. He's gone toe-to-toe with Mahomes, too.
Burrow's the only active guy to beat him.
In a playoff game, yep. You're right. You're right about that, but listen, you take your team the field and you go ahead with 13 seconds left. In my mind, you've beaten him, and then last year, the guy that the idiot kicker missed from 9 yards out, or the game goes to overtime.
The point is,
I disagree with you. I think it goes in the AFC. I'll always take Mahomes in a playoff game, then Josh Allen, then Burrow, then Stroud, then Jackson, which is another reason, Donnie.
They're loaded at quarterback in the AFC.
Why the Steelers even if Russell Wilson is really good, won't go into any of those games with an advantage. Why you augment your passing game with another big time receiver.
Mm-hmm.
That helps you. That helps you in those kinds of games be able to have the kind of adult passing game in the NFL that one of those weeks you're going to need to win.
And multiple other teams. Now, Cincinnati was already loaded at receiver. Houston was already loaded at receiver. The other teams that are the big time contenders, with the exception of Baltimore, and we don't know if they'll make a move because they do like to, they like to use the tight ends more than anybody else. But Kansas City went out and made a move. Buffalo went out and made a move. The other contenders are loading up when it comes to weapons on offense. The Steelers have to keep up. Speaking of Joneses, they got to keep up with the Joneses.
Yes, they do. It's an arms race, man. And they need another weapon, I think, for games like that. Not to get to the playoffs, maybe not even to win one game. So I think the Bengals are going to be 9-7 going into the game here, the last game of the season. And it'll be very interesting to me if the Steelers already have things wrapped up. Like, what are we going to get that weekend? I think the Bengals are going to need to win that game here to get in the playoffs still.
And the Steelers very well could, too, depending on how the second half goes.
That could be an unbelievable game right there. Don't ever forget it was the Bengals in town the day Mr. Big Chess quit. Remember that?
Oh, I was there.
That was
amazing. I was there. I saw Big Chess in that fur coat.
Remember that, Donnie? After the game, everybody, the players are out on the field and everybody's watching Baker.
Yeah, that was actually awesome. If that would have gone the Steelers' way, that would have been one of the coolest experiences I've ever had, like in a stadium.
Yes. The day Mr. Big Chest, actually that day he showed up at the stadium expecting to play.
He was there with a fur coat on.
Right.
He looked like Joe Namath.
Unbelievable stuff. PetFest 24 presented by Subaru is back. October 27th at Rockwell Park in the East End. The event runs from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors, animal shelters, participate in costume contests, get photos with Santa, or join the blessing of the pets at 9:30. PetFest is brought to you by Point Breeze Veterinary Clinic, Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman, and EV True Value Hardware. For more info, go to 93.7thefan.com. It is a Bechtold breakdown next. Bechtold, would you like to tease to that?
Yes, I would love to tease to it. We have some news and notes surrounding injuries in the NFL. Also, how good are the Steelers on special teams? A very interesting nugget in regards to that.
Interesting. I would call it riveting. Donnie, when I look over at you and appear to be staring toward your side, we used to have this problem with Ron. I'm looking into the camera, so don't take it like I'm sending you a signal. There's a camera right here. When it looks like I'm really like locked in on you, I'm actually looking at the camera.
You're trying to show the people at home who maybe have the stream up. Like my parents.
Yes, maybe a smile, maybe some extra interest, things like that. It has nothing to do with you. It's me and the camera.
He's okay? Colin Cowherd playing to the audience.
Exactly. That's exactly it. I can't wait for this breakdown, Bechtold. And it's coming next, followed by a quiz show, which is going to be unbelievable. As I crush Donnie in front of millions. It's a Donnie Football Friday.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is very exciting. And I continue, Donnie, on a Donnie Football Friday to marvel at the fact that I begged this man, City Limits, please find me music, like real music.
This comes up every single time.
Yep.
Anywhere. Like music that has actually been sung instead of elevator music because we're having some problems. Then he constantly says, I can't find it. Can't do it. Sorry.
I tell Joe.
And then we do his segment. We do his segment and it's got a real song underneath. Do you hear that, Donnie?
Oh, I mean, well, Friday, I know it's 1240. Friday is around 1230. That's normally when people can set aside, get ready to hear both the Bechtold breakdown and the anthem of all white people everywhere.
That's right. They played it at the game last night.
It's amazing, Joe. I mean, especially our generation, Limits generation. I don't know what the song was for you. This song just took over for a generation
of
people.
Who sings this song?
The Killers.
The Killers, yeah.
I never even heard that name before.
They got some big ones. I don't think this is even their best song, though, for the record.
Well, you found music somewhere, didn't you, Limits? Let's go, buddy. Let's go into a Bechtold breakdown.
Let's do it for the October 25th Friday edition. Tua Tagovailoa is cleared. He has passed the NFL-mandated concussion protocol. He will start on Sunday against the Cardinals. Are the Dolphins with Tua now any bit of a threat in the wild card?
I mean, yeah, if he's upright and playing well. He led the league in passing yards last year. I'm not the hugest Tua fan, but compared to what they have, and also pointing out the obvious, he's won some games against good teams by lighting them up. They've got tons of weapons, yes, but the question is, how long? I hope to God that he's upright for the rest of the year, but I fear for him, unlike any player I can think of, because he hasn't just sustained concussions. They've been these horrific, you know, situations where he's on the ground, like quivering with his arm and stuff.
Yeah, he does like the fencing thing.
Yeah,
that's what they call it with the hands.
I fear for him, but yes, of course they're a threat with him.
Yeah, it makes them a lot better. And I am not a huge Tua guy either, but he showed his value these last handful of weeks because the Dolphins' offense has just been horrific in his absence. Here are the outputs since Tua got hurt in that game against Buffalo. So they only scored 10 points in that game. 3, 12, 15 and 10. They have not scored more than 15 points in a game since Tua was out. Tyreek Hill, who many, myself included, statistically backed, he is one of the most lethal players in all of football, fastest guy in all of football. He has not been able to do anything. Jaylen Waddle, nothing. The offense that we thought was so great and creative, it looks like a nothing burger without Tua in it. So whatever you feel about Tua as a player, you had to admit this guy has something there. But it is hard to look past the concussion thing. And if he takes one more hit, they are going to be done. And he is going to be done. And he has already come out and said, no interest in wearing one of those Guardian caps.
Wow, man.
He could have been one of the big pushers of that, because we've seen guys wear them. The Steelers had, you know, James Daniels had one on. Kevin Dotson had one on last night, the former Steeler.
Yeah.
We see guys here and there wear them. We haven't seen like a prominent player or a quarterback wear one. He could have been their first big one to maybe try to make that movement. But I don't really think that's now, you know, his decision, whatever. I don't think it's a great look that a guy that has had some severe concussions is so against wearing something that could save him years down the road.
Could. I think there's some debate over how much those help, how much concussions are more a snapping of your head and not exactly the impact. You know what I mean? Some would say it's not the impact on the skull, it's the snapping movement that shakes up the brain inside. But man, you know, I hear when Tua says, basically, this is the life I've chosen. You know, a lot of those guys, I remember talking to Troy Polamalu in that locker room. He said, in fact, his quote to me was, there's risks involved in everything. I could have been an Alaskan ice fisherman and taken on that kind of risk. I'm a football player. That's the way a lot of these guys feel. Like,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, I appreciate that viewpoint, too, because, I mean, there are so many things out there that don't get compensated, certainly as nicely as being a professional athlete or a football player, that are very dangerous too.
Donnie, could you plug in my computer? I'm sorry to interrupt the show for that again. Austin, what's next?
There's an update on Jaden Daniels with Washington. He was not practicing early on in the week. He was limited today, according to Dan Quinn. It sounds like he's going to be a game time decision on his availability against the Bears. But for the larger picture story, it looks like by the time that the Commanders get to the Steeler game, Daniels will be good to go unless there's a re-aggravation.
Well, that's the thing with rib injuries. Being a veteran of them, it gets very tricky with the cartilage in there, and you got to be real, or whatever the injury is internally to the ribs, and you got to be very, very careful about that. So we'll see how it plays out. I hope he's okay, because he's a dynamic performer who's fun to watch, but I'm not convinced he will be right for the Steelers.
Yeah, we saw them have a lot of quarterback luck last season, too, whether it was another quarterback in the AFC that was a contender that went down, or when it came down to the week that the Steelers were playing a team and a quarterback was not healthy. I mean, obviously, they didn't have to play Joe Burrow both times. They didn't have to play Lamar Jackson at the end of the season. Daniels is super fun to watch. If he is a little bit dinged up, I mean, that's a case where you go in like, hey, okay, the guy's not 100%. How many players truly are at this point in the season?
Yeah.
Once you get past October, you can't apologize, though. If he's a little bit dinged up, the Steelers go in there and win the game, because that's going to be a big one, because that team is good.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Wonder Twin?
The Steelers, in terms of special teams and turnover contribution, is by far the best in the NFL. When you look at total points gained on special teams compared to total points gained through turnovers, this is from Matt Williamson, the Steelers are by far and away the best in terms of total points gained through turnovers. They're right around 50, and at 25 for points gained on special teams. The next closest is Denver and the Chargers, but lacking way behind. Danny Smith could be up for special teams coach of the year.
And why not? And it was justified when he faced criticism from myself and many others in recent years because of really bad special teams, frankly. Some of their coverage game was lacking. Give him the credit now. And I think it feeds into this idea that we've talked about, that there's a sudden freshness around the Steelers and fun around them after a lot of staleness. And one of the scenes that epitomized that, Donnie, was all those guys jumping around Danny Smith after the block that counted last week. That was a great scene, and there's no disputing that they absolutely love this guy.
Yeah, I was going to get to that if you didn't, because that was a really cool visual. And again, you know, chewing his five or six or seven pieces of gum. I think I tweeted out during the game, since we are in election season, I said 4 more years of Danny Smith chewing that gum, because his special teams has been a true difference maker. Sometimes people question it, and that's a part of the game you sleep on. Coaches will always bring up, you know, the three phases of the game. Obviously, offense, defense, the two huge ones. But special teams, sometimes it gets left on that cutting room floor. The Steelers are making difference-making plays in the special teams, and it's awesome. He's doing a great job. He does deserve a ton of credit.
This is more anecdotal from my own observation than anything else, but it seems like more kickoffs are being returned, not just in Steelers games, but league-wide. I'm open to changing my opinion on what I thought was a horse crap rule with this ridiculous new kickoff. It seems a little less ridiculous. I don't know why, but it seems like more are being returned. Are you seeing that?
And it all comes down to basically what the team's strategy, I think, is, and what they want their kicker to do. Like, the Steelers could tell Boswell, hey, go and boot one through the uprights, and he could do so on a kickoff, and it's not getting returned.
Should that be worth points, by the way, if you can do that? 1 point? I think it should.
I don't know. Maybe down the road.
Do you like that, Limits? Give him a point if he boots one through the uprights?
I feel like it might
kickoff?
Be a little gimmicky.
Yeah, too gimmicky for me. Not like the idea.
Less gimmicky than the kickoff itself?
Well, the kickoff itself right now is ridiculous.
I'm sorry, Donnie, I interrupted you.
But, I mean, you could also just tell your kicker, hey, I mean, pooch it short, you know, make the guy return it, and maybe something can happen there, too, that benefits us, or the guy doesn't return it to where it would be for a touchback.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High of 68 today with sunny skies. There's a quiz show just ahead that Donnie and I have prepared for hours, maybe days and weeks. I want to beat him in this. I forget what the score is. Limits will update us. But we have a couple more items in the Bechtold breakdown.
Two more. Here's one from Steelers analyst, insider, apologist Mark Cabali.
Apologist.
That's your word, not mine. Steelers defensive back Cam Sutton is going to be eligible for reinstatement on Tuesday. He can play after the bye for the Steelers against Washington. Where could Cam Sutton factor in with Beanie Bishop emerging last week?
I think Sutton's going to work his way right back in there. Beanie Bishop, a great story last week. It was, you know, his best game as a Steeler, one that he will remember forever. But there are still limitations to his game. What it does do that I think is nice, it turns what we thought was a hole, a void in that Steelers defense, into the opposite, one where we think there is some depth at that position. They've gotten some pretty good things out of Dante Jackson, who I was skeptical of coming into the year. He's been a guy to create turnovers. Joey Porter Jr. I thought was really good last week. I think he's overall had a good season. Really only one or two weaknesses that I could think of with Porter's game so far in 2024. You get Sutton back to play a role that he is more fit to. We know his numbers didn't look good. The metrics didn't look good last season for him in Detroit. But a lot of people will say, well, you're playing the guy out of position. Certainly upgrade you at slot corner, which is something nice. But you also have someone that had to start as an undrafted rookie, Beanie Bishop, who now has plenty of reps under his belt to where you don't feel like it's a complete, oh, crap situation if something would happen to a starting player.
So did he reach a resolution in the legal issue he was involved in? I think he did.
Yeah.
On that battery charge that led to his release from Detroit. So he's at a new job. He'll get his chance, and it gives the Steelers depth. I mean, it does. It gives them depth. But I am interested to see. I'm not just handing him the job back. I want to see what Beanie does in this game. If Beanie he just won them a game against the Jets. A gigantic game, and it wasn't like, the second one, you could say, well, the ball came right to him. The first one was a very skilled play. There may be room for both, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I just don't want to say bye-bye, Beanie. Wasn't that a movie, Donnie?
Bye-bye, Birdie.
Yeah, you're right.
There were Beanie babies.
Were you going to say something there? You were going to say something in response to that, I thought.
No, I mean, I think that it does allow you to have both of those guys at your disposal. You can more ease Cam Sutton's way in.
Were you involved in the Beanie Baby craze?
I was very young.
Yeah.
Like I was in my toddler years, I think, when that really blew up.
Did you have a Beanie Baby?
I think I had some. I know my sister had plenty. My grandma had like buckets full of them. She had a ton, thinking that they'd be worth a fortune one day. I don't think that time ever came around, though, unfortunately.
Did Beanie Babies reach the Bechtold household?
No, I don't think so.
No shot. He's old enough for those.
It reached other members of the Bechtold family, but not the Bechtold household. Distant relatives and cousins.
What are some other fads that have come and gone?
Care Bears in our house.
Care
was huge.
Bears. We had, in my
Care
day,
Bears were around in the 80s.
Which was a long time ago, Care Bears were.
Yeah, they kind of had like a resurgence, though, I think, in the 2000s.
I collected Thomas the Trains. My dad would go to Target like every week and get me a new train. I still have all the trains.
I had a pet rock. Did you know pet rocks were a thing once upon a time?
I'll have to ask my dad if he had a pet rock.
He'll know. Believe me.
You had Chia Pets back in the day.
We had Chia Pets. Yes, these
Hot
little
Wheels, which I think are still pretty
Hot
good
Wheels
hits
were
with kids.
One year I got Evil Knievel from Uncle Frank.
Oh, that's, you should have kept that baby in the case.
Well, it was one of many, and I'm sure you guys have experienced this, gifts that look great on TV, but when you open the package and get them, it was like this plastic ramp that Evil Knievel was supposed to jump his motorcycle over. I couldn't even get him up the ramp, let alone for a jump.
Mm.
Were you very upset with Uncle Frank for that one?
No, Uncle Frank did right by me. I was upset with Mattel or whatever company put out the Evil Knievel playset. The garb was amazing, though. His outfit, incredible. That was worth it.
Yeah, that's probably more of the selling point. I mean, my dad, I know this was, maybe they still have these, but definitely when he was a kid, like G.I. Joes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think he still has them somewhere, like OG G.I. Joes.
We had
from 1970 or something.
Yeah. We had a gym teacher, Mr. Foster, at Smallwood Elementary School. And in gym, we would do trampoline. That was like a thing we did in gym class. And he would demonstrate the various jumps and landings with a G.I. Joe. It was incredible, Donnie. What did you do in gym class? Normal stuff?
Yeah.
Back then, we could do dodgeball, where you could whip it at kids' heads and stuff like that.
We played dodgeball, but we had to use, we couldn't use, legit dodgeballs, like you might see, in the movie or something.
Yeah, we played with, kickballs, those rubber balls.
Yeah, see, we didn't use those, because that would have been probably bad for some people. That was always the activity, though, in gym that got people most pumped up. Like, Yeah, we'd play like flag football. Oddly enough, the guys that played football, we had no interest in playing football in gym class.
Yeah,
it's like,
we didn't do
this crap every day.
Right. They had us climbing ropes. That's the one thing I hated. And Mr. Foster,
I never had to do that, thank God.
He was the guy, Mr. Foster. I'm like, he's like, climb the rope, Starkey. I'm like, I can climb it. The problem is when I get up there, what do? I don't want to be at the gym ceiling on a rope. I either slide down and burn my hands or I fall to my death. What are we doing here?
I would have been dead in the water if we had to climb a rope. Yeah. I mean, we did some of the things in high school where it's like we would do like the bench press with like just the bar, like how many times guys could do it.
Yeah.
Guys would do like the pull up one, which I was never good at pull ups. I'm good at, you know, tossing weight around, but not with pull ups.
Right.
Because I was always a pretty heavy guy.
I could only do one. Limits, do you have fond memories of gym class?
Speedball.
Speedball
reigned.
Yeah.
Oh, speedball was so much fun.
Explain to Donnie what it is.
Donnie, have you ever heard of speedball?
I don't think we played speedball.
So speedball, basically, you have a ball. It's not like a basketball material. It's basically like a foam-ish type of ball. I don't know what type of material
it is. We would use those for dodgeball.
And it's basically soccer, but you can use it with your hands. You could also kick the ball. So if you kick the ball, you could treat it like soccer, and you can go wherever you want. But if you catch the ball, you can only take three steps before you have to pass or shoot at the soccer net.
Unbelievable.
We had something like that. Now that you describe it, I don't think that's what we called it.
Speedball. We also had... Well, I mentioned the trampoline and jump rope, and there was another story to tell that I'm now forgetting. Please go ahead, Donnie. Oh, flag football. Wendy Smith was watching me one day when I caught a touchdown from Tom Kay.
Oh, and that was
she
big.
Was walking around the track with Katie Jeffries, and I was in love with Wendy Smith.
And I'm you're like, thinking, if I get in the end zone, this is going to be big.
I told Tom Kay in the huddle, I'm going to go right down the middle. If you hit me, I score. One of the great moments of my very limited athletic career was catching a perfect pass from Tom Kay, running for a touchdown on our high school field, and Wendy Smith's in the end zone watching.
I think you should have done what Chad Ochocinco did the one time with the proposal touchdown celebration.
I should have. It was incredible, Limits.
That would have worked great.
Those days of gym class, weren't they?
They were fun. There were some fun days. There were also some days where we had swimming and we had to go in the pool, and that was a nightmare.
I don't know what's going on with that pool.
Donnie,
we had naked swimming.
What?
What?
Yes. You guys have never heard this story?
Naked swimming in the pool?
Amherst High School.
I mean, I'm happy that Greensburg-Salem didn't have a pool. Like, the swim team had to go down to the YMCA, so I didn't have to worry about that.
But you're burying the lead here. Yes, there was naked swimming. I've talked about this on air. Amherst Junior High School, circa 1980. And I, by the way, when I brought this topic up here, there were high schools in Pittsburgh that had this way back when. Naked swimming.
Did you know this was a thing, Donnie?
No.
Male only, obviously.
I was going to say.
The excuse they used was that our swimsuits would get like moldy or something. But, you know, you have questions all these years later.
I have a lot of questions.
Yeah. Having said that, I was the greatest naked water polo goalie in history. We played water polo. I couldn't tread water. So I had to play goalie in naked water polo. And so I'd hang on to the side, which I guess was illegal now that I think about it. But I made unbelievable acrobatic saves, Donnie. I know there's a lot of questions. Believe me.
I'm rendered pretty speechless from this.
Yeah. One time I called my friend Dave Miller in Buffalo and I said, listen, nobody believes this. It's not something you would forget, but can you just confirm for me that we were made to do naked swimming in gym class? He said, yes. And then I brought it up on the air once, and yes, way back when in Pittsburgh, there were some schools where they did that. It's unbelievable, I know. Limits?
I have so many questions, but I have no further comment.
We're going to have a lot of unanswered questions after this one.
Naked, you know, basketball, swim basketball, we played it naked.
You didn't take any charges?
I was just going to say, you didn't want to take a charge, Donnie. You didn't want to take a charge. All right.
Hope you were a good passer of the basketball in the pool.
Like a hand grenade. They pass to you, you get rid of it. Marshall Reinhart was unbelievable in that, by the way. I used to throw him alley-oops, and he would dunk. Just incredible. That aside, the naked swimming aside, the gym class, in which we were fully clothed, was, you look forward to it, Donnie, every day.
Oh, yeah.
Just some gym class doesn't exist for a lot of schools now. What are we doing? Can't the kids have fun and get a little exercise in and go to gym class? And I think one of the greatest feelings was in dodgeball when you had a kid, you know, near the end who fell right before the line. So you would be standing over a kid.
Like a sitting duck.
With the ball in your hand. Do you drill him in the head limits or do you let that go?
No, drill him in the back or stomach.
I'm not proud to say it, but I went for that.
We actually used to have a rule. Maybe it was because that's when concussions started to be like more prevalent.
Yeah.
Even though we're only playing with foam, there were some like baseball guys in there who could whip it. And if a guy got hit in the head, he was still in the game.
Remember the beginnings of games?
Oh, they.
I used to play it so strategically, and it used to be very like intense. And I would be like, "All right, I'm going to play in the back."
Yep, that's exactly what I would do.
I'll try to catch one if I think I can, but I want to survive a couple rounds here and then get involved.
Yeah, I wasn't the dude that would run out there on the front lines to make sure I got the ball. Yeah,
I wasn't. No, I wanted no part of that.
Yeah, I was surprisingly elusive too.
Yeah,
in some of those games.
Limits? Did they play dodgeball or was it outlawed by the time you came along?
No, we did play some dodgeball. We played a lot of dodgeball at St. E's. That's where dodgeball reigned. That and the mile run. The mile run was not my friend at St. E's.
No, was never my friend.
I lied to my gym teacher on the mile run, but he
about
took
your
it,
time.
Yeah, so what I did, because, I mean, obviously, which is funny now because I like to run a good bit, not marathons or anything, but like running a mile is no issue for me now. But in high school, I would just like really slow trot it around the track. I would play with some strategy of, okay, there's a few like track cross country guys in here. What I'm going to do is time it up with them. So when they're on their final lap and their final turn, I'll be on my third lap and final turn.
Oh, my God. Well, you were the Rosie Ruiz of Greensburg Central or wherever you were.
Salem. I would run down that last straightaway and just have a real dramatic finish.
Wow. I didn't know Donnie had this in him.
I didn't either. How
about
Donnie?
You know the Rosie Ruiz story? You know that story?
No.
I think it's the right person. She's the one that like
cheated on the Boston Marathon.
Yeah. Like the Boston Marathon's coming to the end and all of a sudden she jumps out of a hedge or something and she wins the thing.
She like wasn't even breaking a sweat.
Right.
Well, no, the gym teacher knew. Like he was like, I know you're not done with this in like 7 minutes. I was like, yeah, just put me down. I just said, yeah, put me down for like a 12.
Joe Texter says they went to Kiski in the late 70s and they had naked swimming from 7th to 9th grade.
There you go, hell, man.
How about that?
It was a thing. I'm telling you, it was a thing.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.